Amen. Amen. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 40 this morning. So I invite you to get your Bible, open it to the Gospel of Mark, read along with us, chapter 1, verse 40. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it reveals how powerful you are, how merciful you are, how powerful your touch is. I pray that you would greatly encourage the spirits of your people and draw all of us closer to you. We ask your blessing upon this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We do have a Savior who actually died on the cross for our sins. And we do have a Savior that actually rose again from the grave that third day. Jesus Christ is alive today. He's seated at the right hand of the throne in the heavenly places. And I want you to know this morning that right now, from heaven, Jesus can reach down and touch your life. And his touch is the most powerful touch that you could possibly imagine. Just one touch from Jesus will save you. Just one touch from Jesus will heal you. Just one touch from Jesus will change your life forever. And our passage this morning gives evidence of that. Look what it says in verse 40. It says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, 'I am willing. Be cleansed.' As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed." The most dreaded disease on the planet today is the COVID-19 virus. It is destructive, it is unpredictable, it is highly contagious. In some cases, it's deadly. People are afraid of that disease. It's basically shut down all of society, all of the world. Scary disease. Well, the most dreaded disease on the planet in the days of Jesus was leprosy. Everyone feared leprosy. Leprosy was a painful, highly contagious, deadly skin disease. We know it today as Hansen's disease, and we have treatment for it today, but back then it was completely untreatable. If you got leprosy, it was over. This leper coming to Jesus was a dead man walking. Everyone feared leprosy. Leprosy attacked the victim on every single level in life that you can imagine. They suffered in every aspect. There was physical suffering. It began with fatigue and pain in the joints. Then seedy spots on the skin would begin to develop. Eventually, those spots would become pus-filled nodules, itchy, painful, oozing boils all over your body. Leprous nodules on the vocal cords would cause the person to speak in a harsh, raspy voice. Leprosy attacked the nervous system. It numbed the body, making it impossible to feel pain. So the leper might step on a stone or a thorn and injure his foot and be totally unaware that there was a problem. Infection would set in, and eventually the injured foot might just fall off. The body of a leper was put in a state of living decomposition, rotting away, physical disfigurement. withered limbs, the stench of death. It was a repulsive disease. Leprosy had about a course of 9 years, and it always led to a horrible death. Now, Luke's account of this, and remember, Luke is a doctor, Luke says that this man was full of leprosy. He's in the final stages. His 9 years are up. I see him hobbling to Jesus. There was tremendous social suffering with leprosy. If you got leprosy, it was highly contagious. And if you were diagnosed with it, you were quarantined to the extreme. You were literally banished from society. You were kicked out of your house. You were kicked out of your town, your business, the synagogue, the temple. You were out on the streets. And you know, we talk a lot about social distancing today. We're supposed to stay 6 feet apart from one another. The leper had to stay 50 feet away from anybody, 200 feet away from people on a windy day. And if a leper came anywhere nearer to you, it was legal for you to throw rocks at the leper. Lepers could be stoned to death. Boy, I hope that doesn't start happening in our country with this situation. The leper had to identify himself. If he got anywhere near a crowd, he had to scream, "Unclean, unclean." They wore specific clothing. They were covered in ashes to identify themselves. They dressed like they were going to their own funeral services. Imagine having zero contact with anybody else. Never being able to hug and kiss your wife and kids. Cast out from all of your friendships. Losing your business. By the way, they would struggle financially. They're quarantined. They're out. A lot of the men just went crazy because they knew that their family back home wasn't being provided for. There were no finances. They had no job. They were a wreck. They suffered emotionally, mentally. Many lepers went insane, literally insane, out of fear, out of isolation. Many would commit suicide. The conventional wisdom of the day, the common belief was that if you got leprosy, you were a real bad sinner. And you were under the judgment of God. Anybody who would get leprosy must be a bad person. God must be judging them. And a lot of people looked on lepers like that. And they lived under that stigma and shame. Leprosy was the ultimate symbol of hopelessness. It was a lonely, painful 9-year descent into the grave. That's how this man felt. You know, the COVID-19 virus is having similar effects upon our society. There's physical pain associated with it. There's emotional pain. There's social pain. The quarantines, the separations, all of the difficult things that people are going through. Well, this man, again, he's in the final stages. He's at his last end of the rope. Somehow he heard about Jesus. He heard that Jesus was a miracle worker, and he found out that Jesus was in the area. So he came to Jesus. This is his last resort. He is in utter desperation. And understand that this was a very bold thing for him to do. Remember, lepers were not to approach anyone. They were to stay put, secluded. This guy came right up to Jesus, who may have had his disciples with him and other members of a crowd around him. This guy probably thought, well, if they stone me to death, it doesn't matter, I'm already dying. He came boldly to the Lord Jesus. He came humbly, he came begging. It says he kneeled. I think he threw himself at the feet of Jesus. I want you to notice that he also came respectfully. He said, Lord, if you're willing, if it be your will. He's not demanding anything. He's absolutely respecting the Lord's sovereignty in those matters. If you're willing. He also came with great faith because he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I know you can do it. I know you can heal me. I know you can save me. If you're willing. What a beautiful way to come to Jesus. By the way, that's how we should come to Jesus with all of our problems. Maybe that's how many of us need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Come boldly. Don't let anybody keep you from Christ. Don't let any situation keep you from Christ. Come humbly. Bow before him. Come respectfully and come with faith. And he will respond. I love how Jesus responds to this. It says in verse 41, then Jesus moved with compassion. Compassion. Jesus had compassion. Jesus hurt in his heart for that leprous man. You know, he didn't say like other people probably would have said, get away from me, I'll get sick. You don't see Jesus running for cover. You don't see him looking at this guy and saying, you stink, you're disgusting, you're a monster. Get away from me. No, in fact, Jesus did the unthinkable. Jesus came closer to the monster, got nearer. And he did what nobody would dream of. He touched him. He touched those leprous sores. Now, the way I see it in my mind is he grabbed that leper who's bowing by both sides of the face there, lifted him up, looked him in the eyes. And I think that was the first time that man felt human touch in 9 years. I can see him putting his hands over the hands of Christ that are over each side of his face. I think that just, that emotional healing. Jesus touched him. That's Jesus. Jesus will touch the untouchable. Jesus will touch the people that everyone else runs away from. Jesus will touch the filthy homeless man in the gutter showing obvious signs of COVID-19. Jesus touches the person dying of AIDS. Jesus will touch the person in the cancer ward. Jesus will touch the drug addict. Jesus will touch the ugliest situation. Let me tell you this right now. No matter how dirty you think you might be, no matter how messed up you think you might be, if you come to Jesus, he'll touch you. He'll touch you. And he says to this man, I am willing. Be cleansed. Verse 42 says, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. 9 years of leprosy erased instantly. All the leprous sores gone. The pus-filled nodules removed. A disfigured face instantly becomes handsome again. Limbs repaired. Stench gone. Life given. Jesus spectacularly healed that man. And I want you to think about this as well. Jesus gave him his whole life back. Here's a man who can now go home and sleep in his own bed right there. Reunion with family and friends. Back to his business. Back to human contact. In an instant, one touch from the living Lord Jesus Christ. Everything's healed. Everything's saved. Everything about a life can be completely redeemed, and it doesn't matter how dark that life has been. The touch of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice there's a very interesting command that Jesus gives to this guy. Look at verse 43. It says, and he, Jesus, strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now, isn't that an interesting command? He's just healed this guy spectacularly, and then Jesus says, don't tell anyone. Don't tell a soul. Don't go back home right away. Go to the priest at the temple in Jerusalem. Go show yourself. Now, that is what the law of Moses prescribed for anybody who gets healed of leprosy. It was the priest who had to give them a clean bill of health. So he says, go there. Don't go anywhere else. Obey the law. Now, why would Jesus do this? Why would Jesus say, don't tell anybody? Well, it seems that he wanted the priesthood in Jerusalem to wake up to the fact that the Messiah is here. This is very early on in his ministry. Perhaps this was a tailored symbol, sign for the priesthood in Jerusalem. But the other reason, the main reason, and you see this throughout the gospel accounts in the early part of the ministry of Jesus, a lot of times he'll heal someone and he'll say, shh, don't tell anybody. Because he sort of wants to remain low key. He doesn't want a political circus to develop around him. Everyone would think he's the Messiah, and the Messiah had a political, revolutionary, military connotation to it. And he knew everyone would force him and see him as a revolutionary leader and things like that. And he didn't come to do that. So he's very low key. Don't tell anyone. Well, did this guy obey that command? Verse 45, however, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. You can understand his excitement. You can understand his zeal. He did. He went out and he told everybody. He went back home. Now, he should have obeyed. He did create problems. We don't know if that priesthood ever got the sign. And a political circus did rise up around him. It limited his ability to go in and out. It limited his ministry. He should have obeyed, but he didn't. But man, what a miracle. This is one of the most fantastic physical miracles of healing that you find in all of Scripture. Jesus, in an instant, wiping away 9 years of leprosy. This is also a wonderful picture of the spiritual miracle that Jesus wants to do and can do in the life of every single person who will let him. That physical disease, leprosy, it is an absolute perfect picture of the spiritual disease that we all have called sin. We all have the sin disease. Sin is rebellion against God, failing to do what's right. We all have it. There's no mask or social distancing that will keep you from it, because you're born with it, according to the Bible. We are sinners, full of sin. Heart, mind, body, sinful to the core. That's the human being. And like leprosy, sin is so destructive. It destroys. A lot of sins will, you know, start little and then progress, become more and more painful. Physical suffering associated with sin. Sin can lead to chains of addiction, health problems. Social suffering associated with sin. Sin destroys marriages, families, communities. It separates people. It causes isolation. Sin disease leads to mental, emotional suffering, guilt, fear, depression. The sin disease, the worst kind of disease. In fact, it's worse than any type of physical disease. It's worse than COVID-19. It's worse than cancer. It's worse than leprosy. And you want to know why? Because it impacts you not just now, but for all of eternity. For all of eternity. For the Bible teaches that our God is a holy God. He is without sin. And our sin separates us from him. And our sin deserves to be punished and judged. It impacts us for all of eternity. We have got to find healing. We've got to find cleansing from the sin disease. And what are you going to do about it? How can you deal with it? There's only one way. There's only one way. You have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to touch you. And he will touch you. And he will cleanse you. He wants to do that in your life. Don't ignore the sin disease. Don't ignore it. A lot of people say, oh, they shrug it off. Sin's not a big deal. I'm better than most. I'll be all right. No, we're all sinful to the core. Don't shrug it off. Don't ignore it. You need to go straight to Jesus and let him touch you. You know, some people think, well, they just sort of keep very prideful and arrogant about it. And they just say, well, hey, I'm not going to do that. I'm fine. I'm better than most. Oh, dear soul, humble yourself. Kneel before the Lord. How desperately we all need to be forgiven, to have our sins cleansed. Many people will go to educators or politicians or other religious leaders or counselors or whatever to try to find, you know, some kind of relief. Jesus alone can cleanse you from your sins. And he wants to save you. He's willing to save you. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. No matter how bad you've been, no matter how ugly life has been, no matter how dirty you've been, no matter how full of sin you are, if you come to Jesus Christ, he'll touch you and he'll save you and he'll forgive you. And the reason that he can do that is because he died for you. The reason that the Lord Jesus Christ can wash away all of our sins is because he paid the price for them. We are sinners. God is holy. There's separation. We can't save ourselves. Sins must be paid for. They don't get swept under the carpet. They're not hand-waved. God doesn't wink at any sin. All sin must be punished. If we sin, we deserve punishment and death. Jesus, being sinless, perfect, pure, volunteered and went to the cross and took our sins upon himself and paid the price of judgment that we deserved. And if you ask him to be your Lord and Savior, he will forgive you of all of your sins. You will be cured of the sin disease. And the touch of Jesus Christ upon your life, it'll be the most beautiful, powerful touch you've ever experienced in all your life. Maybe your life's been ravaged by sin. Maybe you look back and you see the mess that you've made. Family, relationships, issues, the messes. Jesus can touch you and bring all life back, bring health back, bring relationships back. Allow him to touch you. Nobody is outside of his reach. You see testimony, testimony, testimony. A leper healed forever. Saved. I think of Matthew, the writer of the Gospel of Matthew. You know, when Matthew was called by Jesus, he was considered the worst scumbag on planet Earth. He was a tax collector as a Jewish man for the Roman Empire, and he was a thief. He exploited people. Everyone looked upon Matthew as this disgusting, rich, playboy business guy ripping off his own people. I mean, people hated Matthew. Jesus touched Matthew, called Matthew to be a part of his team, completely changed his life. Think about Paul the Apostle. Before he was Paul the Apostle, he was Saul. Remember Saul of Tarsus? Murdering Christians. A terrorist. A religious zealot. Jesus touched Saul on the road to Damascus. Changed him forever. If he can touch a Saul and turn him into a Paul, look what he can do with you. Understand that he can touch you and change you. Mary Magdalene, well-to-do woman, highly involved in sexual immorality, and we find out later that she was actually possessed by several demons. Jesus touched her, changed her life forever. The Lord will touch your life. He gives life with his touch. He gives salvation. Have you allowed him to touch you? You know, one of my favorite poems, I bring this out a lot. I read it often all by myself because I just think it's so beautiful. It's called The Touch of the Master's Hand. It goes like this. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to spend much time with the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What is my bid? Good folks," he cried, "who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar? A dollar? Two, only two? $2, who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, and going for three." But no, from the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings. He played a melody as pure and sweet as caroling angels sing. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What is my bid now for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000. Who will make it two? $2,000. Who will make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The crowd cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand what changed its worth." Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Our Lord can touch anyone. He's the master. He'll forgive you. He'll touch you. He'll embrace you. He'll calm your fears both now and forevermore. Has he touched you? Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, we thank you for your touch. And oh, how we need your touch right now. We thank you that you are there for us, that you are so willing and able to save us. Right now, I want to pray for anyone here, anyone watching, wherever they might be. Lord, stretch forth your hand from heaven into living rooms right now and touch. If you're watching right now and you've never had Jesus touch you with his touch of salvation, he can do that right now. You need to have your sins forgiven. You need to get right with him. He died for you. He loves you so much that he died for you. He paid the price for you and he rose again that third day. Receive him. Let him touch you. Just come to him just the way that leper did. Come boldly. Don't let anybody stop you from coming. Come humbly. Come respectfully. Come with faith. I'd like to lead you in a prayer right now. Please pray with me. Cry out to him. Just say this: Lord Jesus, touch me. I want your touch. I need your touch. I long for your touch. I've been needing your touch on my life all my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I admit my sinfulness. I need to be cleansed. right now I'm opening my heart to you. Be my Lord, be my Savior. Touch every area of my life, heal every area of my life. Give me strength and calm, peace and resolve in these uncertain days. I bow before you. I kneel. I humble myself. Take over, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.